I feel like it's a very doomsday ambience. Like, it feels very ominous out there. Very ominous. I see yearly stories. People were not able to export all of the coffee last year. I hear exporters have their stocks full at that destination. So it's just, this is like storms that building up, I feel like.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is the first of a five-part series where we're talking about the reality of life for coffee producers in 2024. And joining me again on the podcast for, I think this is the third time or the fourth time. Yeah, Diego?
Well, I think it's the fourth time.
Yeah, fourth time. Diego Barayona from El Salvador, Los Pirineos. Welcome back to the podcast, sir.
Thank you, Lee. Happy to be back again.
I love our conversations. I love our conversations here and I love our conversations on the phone. Often I wish that people could listen to the kinds of things that we explore. And I learn a lot when I have conversations with you and I question myself, and it's really wonderful. So thank you for coming on to talk about this, because we recently spoke to Bram, your business partner, and he had some really wonderful things to say. Congratulations on Paso Paso.
Thank you. I'm really happy with that project.
Yeah, it sounds very
exciting. Bram told me about the project a year ago. It's funny because he told me about a year ago, and then he said it. I was like, yes, let's do it. Boom. Awesome. I was thinking, because I trust Bram a lot. He's a great friend, a great guy. He's very smart. So I was like, it's a no-brainer. Let's go for it.
Yeah, amazing. I'm very excited about where this project is going to go, and I hope you guys keep us informed. Hopefully we'll get more producers wanting to kind of take on these kinds of endeavors as a way of empowering themselves. Yeah. It'll be great.
Yeah. I think you said it in one of the episodes, it's a really nice way to disrupt in a positive way.
Yeah, I love it. So in this series, we're going to be talking about what life is really like for you as a coffee producer. And I'm hearing a lot of pain out there for producers. In this episode, we're going to talk about the challenges of life for coffee producers. So what are they?
Oof, where do you start? A lot of them. I think the first one, I think, is some one that people are talking like a lot. Like, I think globally, like almost all origins, it's a labor force. I think this year for us, we've noticed a big decline in pickers, for sure. We were getting 40 pickers in the last years. We were able to get 10 pickers.
Wow. Labor is that bad that it's gone down that much?
Here in El Salvador, even though it's a small country, our side of the country, on the east side in Sulutan, we hadn't faced these issues in the previous years, because this is the one for many years, right? Mm-hmm. But for us, it hit us this year. This year really hit us. So we were like, damn, like, so only 10 people, when we do need 40 to 50 people at least, so like 50 the entire farm in a way that it's efficient. Yeah. So what we did, I have a really good teammates, and they offered the solution that we need to bring people from outside of the farm. It's called a popa, which is 2 hours away from the farm. So we need to, one, hire transport. We need to offer food now, offer like stay at the farm. So the costs
stop piling up.
Went up again. Yeah. But then I was like, I prefer to invest in this, because if I don't do this, the coffee just trash on the plants. I mean, it still happened though. A lot of the cherries dry for us on the plants, because we didn't have the capacity to pick the cherries. Also, we need to like pick the cherries a bit faster now, meaning that usually we like to wait a little bit, that way they could do a nice purple color, but this time we needed to do it fast, because now we just lose the crop. So those are the main two things that come with lack of labor, right? We need to pick faster, meaning cherries are not the optimum quality that we would like to pick them, and the cost just went up again, because we need to spend more like in food, transportation, gasoline, right? And room and board, basically. It's like a college. Yeah.
It seems like there's so many forces on producers at the moment. Like, it's always been hard.
Yeah.
But it just seems like these two big ones, which is, as you said, labor and climate change, but also price. These three are the are the ones that are the biggest problem.
Yeah, because inflation, right? Inflation, it's a real thing. It happens everywhere in the world, right? So you got to up inflation. Plus, we need to spend more money now. Because it's, I feel like it's like a double thing, because it's more cost we need to incur in the harvest. Plus, inflation, things get more expensive. Meaning that our access to capital is always very limited, right? So things are really like, it's like this big tsunami that starts like coming in.
And how are...
And there's a lot of...
How are people responding to you with regards to that? Like, it seems like whenever, like, the buck has to stop somewhere, the inflation keeps going and going and going on the consuming end. How is that trickling down to you guys?
Well, I think we forget that inflation not only happens where we export the coffee, right? It happens also here at origin.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to have conversations with people, maybe pushing a price, not too much, because it's not about like charging a sober amount of money for the coffee. I know that. But I have like price quotation for like our production per pound, per quintal. So we know how much it costs us to produce coffee to the export point. We know all of the labor, all the cost chains in our production part. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to lose prices up, but sometimes it's positive and that's not positive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard conversation to other people now. Yeah. It's very tricky situation. Very tricky.
I can't imagine how hard. I mean, yes, we're talking about the challenges of life for you guys. But it seems like we're all experiencing hard stuff at the moment. You guys are responsible for supplying our food. And it seems like there's constantly moving pieces. I remember when COVID hit and we had your dad on the podcast, God rest his soul. And he was telling us how, you know, these are the times that show you who really loves coffee. And I don't know about you, Diego, do you get the feeling that we're headed for something as kind of intense a time economically as that time?
Oh, yeah. It feels like it's, I'm going to say it because not going to be negative, but like it sounds like I get a bit doomsday.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a very doomsday ambience. Like it feels very ominous out there. Very ominous. I see yearly stories. People were not able to export all of the coffee last year. I hear exporters have their stocks full at that destination. So this is like storms that building up, I feel like. And you hear about people also having trouble with like their own finances. Housing is expensive. Here in the suburb, life is very expensive also. So it's just like they just like building up like a volcano.
Yeah. And remind people, you're not like your fifth generation or sixth generation coffee
I'm
producer.
I'm fifth generation.
Your fifth, generation. And you've been producing coffee for 4 years?
Myself, 4 years, yeah.
4 years. And this wasn't meant to happen that quickly, right? Like this is a part of the plan.
It was not like, people know my story, like my life's completely got changed. For 4 years ago, I used to live in Barcelona. I was an ACP consultant. Nothing to do with coffee. But then life happened. I was like, I need a challenge in life, and this is the challenge. And I have no regrets. But since I got back, I knew what I was getting myself into. Like I knew it. I knew it wasn't going to be like this, like easy walk on the park. Or like, I know it's a farm and it exists, and I like made it, and it's popular. I get it. It's not like that. It was even harder. I have to face a lot of like financial burdens, learning how to manage a farm, a business, being a boss, being a leader is not easy. Being with banks, learning how with the logistics, finances, how to sell a coffee, marketing. I had to deal also with the emotional part of my life. My dad but being more sleep is like a big thing. So yeah, I didn't see myself seeing coffee, and here I am now.
And here you are making, like, you're being a great disruptor, but at the same time, being faced with these constantly moving set of challenges. Yeah. That I agree with you. Yeah. It does feel a little bit doomsday right now. You and I are not catastrophists. You know, we kind of look at things very objectively. We've seen this coming for quite some time. And now that it's here, it's evidence-based, like you were saying. You know, traders are having a lot of problems. The warehouses are all full of coffee. People are constantly looking for cheaper coffee. That's what I'm constantly being asked by people. Can you find me cheaper coffee?
That's another issue, cheaper coffee, but cheaper coffee, maintaining the quality, which is so incoherent.
That's the wild thing. Like, after everything that we've been talking about for years, not just us on the podcast, but the industry, people still have the audacity to go to a producer of all people and say, can I have the same coffee, but I just need it cheaper because inflation's kicking the shit out of us? What the actual fuck? The fact that people have the audacity to say that kind of thing is just wild. Instead of doing the work that's necessary to explain the situation to customers.
Yeah, because I guess the consumer, I mean, if people boost prices on origin, I guess the consumer, it's way more expensive, but I don't, it's like people don't cheap out on beer. You don't go to a bar and say, no, that's too expensive. Or I think Bram in the episode said about, like, give me a cheap Land Rover.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen, But why do people try to discount coffee? And not people, because I know people in this industry realize how complicated it is to grow coffee. And if you want quality, it's even more complicated. Because the expectations are very high, the standards are very high. But if we could tackle all this, like, burdens and burdens every single year is very volatile. And it's probably because it's a very volatile industry. It changes. I think every 6 months I've seen new trends and things are changing so fast. But on the farming part, we don't have 6 months to change everything. We need at least 4 years to, like, for a change. Yeah. So I think farming, it's not compatible. It's not like agree with, like, how fast paced the other end of the industry is. That's what I feel sometimes. Things. Yeah.
Tell me something. What's it like as a coffee producer when you've got coffee roasters coming to you trying to tell you how you should grow your coffee? I've never asked you that, have I? In our conversations?
Never.
No. What is that like for you?
Luckily, I haven't been through that. I think I'm very lucky that people haven't told me how to grow my coffee. Or
I'd love to see them dare. I've
gotten tips. I've gotten tips on how to really process the coffee, processing methods. I mean, I respect that. I mean, in the end, I am the one who decide, right? I'm not going to say no, yes. I think my dad was very open also. I think he was too open sometimes on how to process. But I do hear stories of people going to other farms and feeling that they know how to run a farm. And that's so why don't you do it? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It is like, savior complex, maybe, sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, I think at best it's a savior complex. At worst, it's probably some kind of narcissism of I don't know, people thinking that they know better than what a producer does about how to do something. I've never been able to understand it. And I tell you, the trolls and the meme part of our society in the coffee industry are having a fucking ball with it right now.
Yeah, I think I saw a meme from Alan Gerard.
Shout out to Alan.
It's really good memes. Yeah. He has really good memes.
Yeah, he does. Especially on this subject. On this subject.
Yeah.
So, as we go through this series, we're going to really get an insight, a very deep insight into what it is for producers at the moment. Mm-hmm. I am seeing a lot of producers very disheartened. In the next episode, we're going to kind of unpack how we got here, because a lot of people, the part that really dumbfounds me is that people are still quite delusional. And they're going to turn around and say, well, how did this happen? Where did it come from? It's all out of nowhere. No, yeah. It's not even and, sort of like that.
Yeah, and I take it really hard as visions. I think I'll
we'll do it in the next episode.
But I took it really hard decisions.
Yeah.
Maybe that my dad wouldn't have made because I think he was too emotionally attached to those. But like, mm-hmm. I think it's my turn and it's my duty to do it because if not,
I feel like there's a lot of that ahead. Join us in the next episode, folks. Yeah. It's going to be a cracker. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.